A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house which they were in. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused, because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in our native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created as you renew the face of the earth.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be thy name, thy theme. I will be glad in the Lord.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one through its though it has many parts, and all parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle them in the fire of your love.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Today we are celebrating, arguably, the third greatest feast of the entire liturgical year. The solemnity of Pentecost can be said to be the fulfillment of the entire mystery of the faith. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of the Word of God through the power and gift of the Holy Spirit in the womb, the virgin womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. At Easter, we celebrate the reunification of the body and the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Come among us, that we may have life and have it to the full. Last week, we celebrated the feast of the Ascension, that humanity of Jesus that he assumed, entering into the realm of the third heaven, the invisible realm of eternity, of that heaven that stands beyond that which we see with our eyes or with other resources or tools or instruments to look out and see the stars as they are. Today we are witnessing on this, the 50th day, culminating after the Passover. The Jews celebrated the 50th day as a time of offering the harvest. When they would take in their harvest, they would present it to God in thanksgiving, celebrating the freedom they received when they were delivered from the place of bondage in Egypt, 450 years of bondage. But of course, we know Jesus, his Passover, set in motion the beginning of a new creation, a new and a recreation of the earth, of the world, of even, yes, the human person, to reestablish that original state of holiness that was distorted by sin, and with it came death and every other disorder that we see in a world gone wrong in sin. But notice the location of this event. They were in the upper room of Jerusalem. For 9 days they have been in prayer. Now the 10th day,
the promised gift of the Father, this power, is going to be bestowed upon them and has been bestowed upon them. But do you ever consider how significant it is that all of this took place in the upper room? Four of the seven sacraments of the church were instituted by Jesus in the upper room of Jerusalem. Four of the seven. The first, the Eucharist, the establishment of the Eucharist and the priesthood. So first, Holy Communion and the priesthood, Holy Orders, was established in the upper room, the Last Supper. The third, the gift of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. And today, confirmation, the seal of the love of the Father and the Son upon his bride and all of her membership is confirmed in this outpouring of the Spirit. Oftentimes, when we come to this solemnity and we talk of the Holy Spirit, it's often referred to as the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity, much like Joseph is considered to be the forgotten person of the Holy Family. But how are we to understand the Holy Spirit? We hear it come down upon Jesus in the form of a dove. At the beginning of creation, it hovered over the waters as the Ruah, the mighty wind, which we hear described in the first reading from today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, descending upon the apostles as tongues of fire, as a cloud that would journey with the Hebrew children as they were going across the desert of Sinai, being led in the daytime by a pillar of cloud and in the nighttime a pillar of fire. And yet, are we to understand it as such? The Spirit is more like something that enables us to become what we've been created for, as opposed to something that comes toward us like we can see a train coming down the tracks or a car or a bus coming. It's not that type of a coming. It's more of a becoming. When we hear Jesus, we ask ourselves, well, why is it that the gospel, similar to last week, why is it that the gospel is not the gospel of the ascension, but it was the gospel of the Great Commission in Matthew, coming from Matthew. Today, it's the first day of the week. It's recounting what happened on the night of the resurrection. Jesus breathing that breath of life upon the apostles. The church fathers say in their interpretation, they said it was a prelude, it was a preview of what was coming at Pentecost. But it also confirms what St. Paul speaks of. The first Adam was born of the earth. He was of the earth. The second Adam will be of the heavens. And this Adam will be a life-giving spirit. Even John the Baptist would testify and say, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You may recall we had the beautiful image of the divine mercy in the sanctuary, showing the rays of light coming from the heart of Jesus, a white ray and a red ray, symbolizing the water and blood coming forth from the heart of Jesus as he was pierced through on the cross of Calvary. Therein, the birth of the church, symbolized by John standing at the foot of the cross next to the mother of Jesus. Behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. And from that time forward, he took her into his home. We hear in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, a miracle of languages takes place today. A miracle of languages. These men are Galileans. And they're speaking of the mighty works of God in such a manner, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, they were accused of drinking too much new wine. Yes, they weren't too far off either, though. Remember, Jesus used in one of his teachings, you don't pour old wine into new wineskins or new wine into old wineskins. If you do, the wineskins are going to burst. You pour new wine into new wineskins. And who's going to stop drinking the old wine when they say, well, the old is good. Why would I change from what I'm drinking? This is good. And you know what they say about wine, good bottle of wine. It gets better as it ages. So why am I giving up the old? And Jesus isn't asking us to give up the old. He's asking us to receive the new in the light of what the old presented us with. And so, yes, they were, but the intoxication that they experienced, these men of Galilee speaking in, wasn't an intoxication that causes them to forget and do things that they regret the next day. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I was doing that. I said that. No. The intoxication of the Holy Spirit is a sobering intoxication. It brings about a unification. And remember, the first time the attempt was made to go to the heavens, it was a prideful action by humanity to build this tower in Babel, the Tower of Babel. They were, let's make a name for ourselves. God confused their language because they were trying to be too full. You know, what are you doing? You're going to do this without any regard for me and who I am? No, it's not going to happen. So we see whenever humanity attempts to do something that even though the enterprise might be a good enterprise, but if we do it apart from the one who holds all of this in all of this creation together, who created us out of nothing, out of love, and sustains us in love, it's going to be a problem. And so as we see it in this time of fulfillment, when the time of fulfillment came, much like when Jesus, in the 9th chapter of Luke's gospel, it says, when the time of fulfillment came for him to be taken up, to be lifted up, meaning referencing his entry into Jerusalem and his subsequent crucifixion and death and burial and, of course, his resurrection and ascension, we see how this time is come again. Everything that Jesus came to realize and that the Father sent him to do is fulfilled in this gift of the Holy Spirit. One verse is attributed to them, to the Galileans, to the apostles speaking. Seven verses in the Acts of the Apostles in today's reading are attributed to hearing and understanding. Hearing and understanding. Yes, forgiveness can oftentimes bring about peace. It can elicit peace. But forgiveness and peace can only be realized when one is able to hear and understand, and with that understanding, be able to identify with the other person's disposition, where they are coming from. So very often we see so much problems come about, people complaining and upset about the differences that we have in the world, and yet the differences are truly one of the gifts of God. The church fathers were talking about, were saying Gregory the Great, commenting on the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he says, think about this. We hear St. Paul speak about it. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. Think about the rains that fall from the heavens. They fall on this earth. It's the same rain. You can test it in the test tubes and all kinds of scientific tests. It's the same type of water that falls from the heavens. And look at the diversity of what comes forth from the earth after it's saturated with that same rain. Roses, dandelions, lilacs, the green grass, so many different varieties of the earth that wow us when we see it. It's astonishing. It's amazing to see the diverse beauty of God's creation coming out of the one reality of that element of water. And so it is with the gift of God's Spirit. When it's imparted upon the body of Christ, it produces various different fruits and gifts, all for the one reality of communicating the love of God, the works of God, for God's glory and the salvation of all. This is our time to consider anew how it is that we are growing in this reality, this participation in the very life of the Holy Trinity. Because that's what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. It is a very real participation in God who is among us, in God and God in us. We experience what it is to be living in God and also to hear, to feel and experience how God lives in us. So maybe a very real question for us to consider is, where do we find ourselves today? The disciples at the time in the gospel that's presented to us today, they were locked behind the closed doors. And yet, whatever barriers that might be set up, whatever we may have placed in our lives to create distance between ourselves and someone else, but especially the person of God, it doesn't stop God from coming through and manifesting himself to us. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, now I send you, breathing on us. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Wait until you are clothed with power from on high. Power to do what? To be able to go into the midst of troublesome things and times with a disposition of joy and with a courage that can only be given to us by God. To persevere in difficult situations, such as having to care for someone who is, you know, they will, their health has failed them immensely, and it's such a struggle because it's just created so much problem. They're upset because they're having to go through it. You're upset, and it's just all of that at work. This Holy Spirit enables the church to continue the mission of Jesus, to go to all the world and tell this good news. In the scene that we hear in the Acts of the Apostles, every nation on earth in the known world at that time were present. In the Babel that was once a source of confusion, now this outpouring of love, this word of love coming forth from the Galileans, the apostles speaking of the mighty works of God, becomes a means of bringing the people together. A gathering now takes the place of the scattering. So when we receive Jesus today, through the gift and power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that realizes the miracle through the hands of the priest, through the voice of the priest, let us resolve as we approach the Lord, as we hear in our ears, hopefully still echoing, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Fire, wind, the gentle breathing and breath of God, and finally, the gracious gift of God will be laid in your hand or on your tongue, and you have the privilege of receiving the love between the Father and the Son, which enables a whole new creation to go forth from you, within you, and among us. God love you.